What's your opinion? This is It's Debatable.
Welcome to It's Debatable on Campus FM 103.7. Today, our topic is the emancipation of women in politics and society today. May Stayem will introduce the topic with Dr. Jocelyn Kutayer, while Alex Bencini will continue our program with the students.
Joining us at the studio is Dr. Jocelyn Kutayer, a senior lecturer in sociology at the University of Malta. Mrs. Kutayer, Dr. Kutayer, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. From your experience, could you please shed some light on the role of women in politics?
On a global basis or on a national basis?
Let's say like on a global basis in the beginning.
Women in politics are an issue. And it's still an issue, even after so many times, and with the United Nations and the European Union trying to promote more women into the political agenda, which we hope will resolve itself eventually. In those countries where affirmative action was taken, more women have taken to politics. In other countries where more traditional political issues are being promoted, women are still in the backseat of politics. With regards to Malta, it's very interesting to note that Malta started on the right foot. There were a number of women who were leaders of their own party, and they entered the fray as leaders of, they were elected into the National Assembly or Parliament, whatever the case was at the time. But it seems with time we are having less women in Parliament. So this is a very interesting issue to discover, to see why, what's happening. When it comes to local councils, we have more women who are being elected or given seats as mayors. So when it seems that it is linked to community issues, more women either come out or are given the potential to promote the community. But when it comes to national issues, they are given less potential to be elected.
Could you perhaps give us some reasons why is this decrease in number of women elected for the parliament in Malta?
The issue is depends when it, there's we have two main parties, and the two main parties, it's very difficult for one to get the majority in Malta. So we have to be very careful which people they field. What is interesting is when women are being asked to come out, they are very women in the professional field, and they are usually then elected. With the men, there isn't so much screening of which candidates come out. So women are more likely to lose because there are more male candidates who come out on an electoral basis. In the past, we used to blame the issue that women are not being elected on the on culture. But nowadays, there are more women at university level. We are getting more graduates. There are more women in professionals. So I think it's still the culture is still there that women shouldn't have power. Look at women in decision-making boards. We are the country in the European Union with the least number of women on decision-making boards. So I think the Maltese public is still not acceptable, accepting that women can rule or give directions. I don't really like what we call politics, because politics we always associated with political parties. I think that's the problem in Malta. Politics is also at home, in the family. Who makes decisions? Who uses resources? I think we should start looking within the small p, what we call the family interaction. Who is doing what and why? And then we can go on to see why less women are making it into the political arena with a capital P.
So you believe the environment at home, it reflects the environment on a more local and more political scale, like in the country?
If women, like Rizzo has found out and Spiteri has found out, and the new research which has come out from the National and the NCPE, shows that women in Malta are bearing the brunt of family responsibilities. Now, if you have family responsibilities and you have to work as well, because instead of having the breadwinner model, now we have the breadwinner and a part-time wife. So the part-time wife also has to take care of the kids. The work at home isn't being shared equally by the couple or between other members of the family. If you have young kids, it's very difficult to make it into politics.
Mm-hmm. So do you have perhaps any suggestions or any insights how to increase the women's political role in Malta?
I think the suggestions should be shared within political parties. I think there are a number of members within all the main and the small political parties. The women in our political parties are silent. Okay, we have some representatives within party structures. Sometimes they have been put there in order to make the EU shut up its mouth about the lack of female representation in political parties. I think the female members of political parties should start saying, we are here, we should have a say in the way the political structure is being run. And from there, I think we're going to see a change also on the national level, mm-hmm. where politics are concerned.
I see. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Cateo, for your insight, and we're looking forward to having you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The debate now continues with my two other guests today, Bernadette Takia and Maxence Laundrie, who are both second-year international relations students. Welcome to the show. On the threshold of the 21st century, a number of social, political, economic, and social developments have brought about a revolutionary change as regards the overall status of women within the European society in general. However, one has to indicate the fact that the European society is homogeneous, but is culturally differentiated on both an intra- and interstate basis, which renders this multi-dimensional situation even more complex and intriguing. The situation is not only apparent within the European context, but also within the Maltese dimension. In fact, one can note a high degree of cultural diversity latent within our microculture. It is interesting to evaluate this particular issue from its diverse interrelated aspects, in particular, the implications of the newly gained status on the part of the female gender within the wider social context. Bernadette, we are living within a fast-changing world. How far do you agree with this?
Changes are inevitable, and this change is directly impacting on members of society, ranging from professionals, white and blue-collar employees, to students. The latter represent the seeds of the upcoming generation.
Please qualify since when these changes had started impacting women.
Each particular European state has experienced a relatively different history in this respect. Malta, being a small country, has experienced these changes at a far later stage in relation to other countries of Europe. This is natural, keeping in view that until 1964, we were a former British colony. During the post-independence period, a neo-colonial mentality prevailed, at least for roughly two decades. In Malta, by the mid-80s, women started asserting their own hard-gained independence.
Do you consider that women face more challenges in keeping abreast to the social changes in relation to their male counterpart?
Within all Europe, women have more challenges so as to keep abreast with all prevailing social changes, in particular whenever these are of an unpredictable nature. This is not only due to their biological aspect, but in most cases due to culturally conditioned factors. For instance, it is the primary duty of females to take care of their offsprings and to be in charge of domestic agendas. Thus, women are caught up in their struggle to move along in their domestic and professional pursuit simultaneously. Thus, their daily pressures and stresses increases. Most women are ready to proceed and face their challenges, but others simply give up and prefer a traditional role.
Could you please perhaps state some ways on how women, both within Europe and Malta, experience the change in their own status?
A typical example is that, while over a few decades ago, women lived a household oriental lifestyle, at present, they are directly contributing to the economic development to their respective country. Moreover, the population of females at university is relatively increasing and it has overtaken the male counterpart. However, females are still underrepresented within certain technical courses, for instance, mechanical and electrical engineering, together with architecture. In certain situations, females can come along with quite surprising ideas, perspectives and outcomes.
Can you provide perhaps a deeper perspective on the last statement and perhaps even back up your argument by some hard facts?
In a statistical study conducted on a worldwide basis, it was revealed that Maltese women tend to be better in reading and writing skills in comparison to the male counterpart. Further, throughout the last statistical study carried out, it was found that Maltese females, compared with the rest of the world, enjoyed a higher statistical standing in the science, including mathematics and physics. This implies that within the Maltese context, women tend to be superior to their male counterpart within both the art and the science. However, contrary to Malta, throughout the rest of the world, women tend to be superior to their male counterparts in the arts.
I mean, I'd like to take the issue under review from a totally different dimension. What about the role of women in the world of work? Do they adopt the same attitudes and values as their male counterparts?
Women are becoming highly committed to their work pursuit. Some women have taken this particular decision since they intend to follow diligently a profession. Other women are forced to go to work due to the economic commitments of life. In general, women tend to be more flexible in work operations and, as a rule, they master techniques at a quicker rate than their male counterpart. This is definitely a highly inspiring comment.
What about women in politics?
Since the Second World War, women have played a highly important role within the political spectrum. Take, for instance, Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher in the United Kingdom, as well as Her Excellency the Honourable President Agata Barbara within the Republic of Malta. In the case of the UK, Margaret Thatcher sought to revolutionise the social and political system of her own country. In Scandinavian countries, a substantial number of MPs are women, while in Sweden, women are in majority. In both the Maltese Parliament as well as the EU Parliament, the number of female representatives has been steadily increasing. This is possibly because females have a totally different perspective on politics in relation to their male counterpart, and together they can make a highly effective synergy in terms of ideas which are essentially for the welfare of the country. I would like to confess that in most cases women tend to be tolerant to the political perspective of males. However, this is not always the case for the perception of the male counterpart.
So, are you asserting that females are more tolerant and open-minded than their male counterparts?
In some respects, yes, but not in all respects. This depends also to a very high degree on the individual's attitude. However, one thing is certain, that whenever certain women commit themselves to particular pursuits, they seek to carry them out in a highly professional manner. It seems to me that women tend to be more determined than their male counterparts. However, this is not a question of intelligence.
As regards social values, can you trace some underlying differences between women in Malta and women within the European Union?
Women have the same traits world over. However, the difference in their approaches to life are highly conditioned by the surrounding cultural elements. Malta has a liberal culture as other EU states. There are women who seek to capitalize in a favorable manner as regards their right to advance along within their respective profession. Others seek to go to the extreme and grant to their family a very low level of importance. This is a very serious misfortune.
All right, unfortunately, we're going to have to take a short break, but stay tuned to Campus FM on 103.7, where our debate on the role of women in contemporary society will shortly continue.
The way she walks, the way she talks, how long can I pretend? Oh, I can't help it, I'm in love with the girl of my best friend. I could go on, never end.
Welcome back to It's Debatable. Today we are discussing women in politics, and I'm honored to have with me in the studios Rin Levira. She is the chairperson of the Malta Confederation of Women's Organization. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
In regards to now high level of politics, I mean, we see that, for instance, we have in Germany, the prime minister is a woman. In Finland, we had a president, a woman president. How do you think that the position, also considered simply in the parliament, that we see MPs that are women, how do you think this is affecting the daily life, the daily politics life, I mean, the daily policies, we can simply
yes.
say?
The United Nations states that in order for women's issues to be put on the agenda, you need 30% participation of women within the structure. So you have to have a very good voice. When you're the president, when you're the prime minister, obviously that's a very strong voice. However, that depends on the personality as well. It doesn't, I don't think Merkel is very well known for her gender equality agenda. In Finland, yes, because they have moved forward on that agenda. We know that the Scandinavian countries have done a lot, have even introduced quotas, which have brought about positive results. In Norway, you have 48% of women in parliament. So the agenda is very much there. But again, it's not just being a woman or a man. It is also your way of thinking, your agenda, where you want to go, how involved, how to what extent do you want to make use of the resources of the whole country? Because men and women have different perspectives, they have different talents, they have different outlooks, they have different experiences. So it is important that both women and men are involved in the running of the country in order to address the issues of the whole society. And this is a democratic principle, where democracy is representation of the people. Mm-hmm. If half of the population is not properly represented, then there is a lacuna in the democratic process.
Yeah, but I could counter-argue that probably men are already taking care of the rights of women. So why in your
Are they?
So why, in your opinion, is so important to have a woman present
yes.
in politics?
No, first of all, I don't agree with you. Only to some extent they are doing so. We can see that gender equality is not really developed in European countries. Let's look at European countries. In Europe, and not even, I think, in most countries, just European countries, we're always talking about lack of services, of family support services. Why? Because men don't really need them. We're looking at now, especially with the economic crisis, the level of poverty of women is on the increase. The percentage of women in unemployment is getting higher. Women in precarious jobs, the percentage is getting higher. So it doesn't seem as if enough attention is being given to gender equality. I mean, looking at the structures within each country, when we are seeing that at decision-making levels, women are lacking. We've had Reding last year and again this year, Commissioner Reding, the EU Commissioner Reding, stating that if companies, private companies, the major ones, do not increase the number of women on their boards, she is willing to set a quota. And there is a consultation process going on within the EU member states in order to see if she can find consensus on that issue, because it cannot go on. There is research which shows that when the boardroom is mixed with women and men, then the company has better output, better production, better results. I mean, the issue of having women in boardrooms isn't a question of just window dressing or tokenism. It is because economically it brings better results. And this is being proven over and over again.
So one last point. In regards to Malta, how do you express at the moment the situation here in Malta regarding the emancipation of women in politics? I mean, going beyond the political parties' divisions and looking more at an external point of view as an organization of women, as chairperson of an organization of women, how do you see the position of women today in politics? Are they more involved? And how do you see positive, negative aspects?
I can see women being more involved in civil society, for example. If you look at the environmental issues, we have a number of entities, NGOs, that are headed by women. Within the church, for example, NGOs, we've always had many women participating. However, they're usually headed by men. Slowly, it is changing. Yes, we are having, but it is at the big P level, I should say, that we are facing problems, that we don't have enough women who are prepared to contest elections. I think women are voicing, we have more women in the media, more journalists, not at high levels as yet, but we have more opinionists in the media. So that it helps. However, we still have the media. The image of women is still the sexy, or else the victim image, or else questions like how do women.
So you see women more for audience, basically. An attraction of women in media just for audience.
Yeah. Yes, yes. You have, for example, when women decide, even when women get interviewed, women in important positions get interviewed, and they have young children, and most of the time, if not all of the time, first question that comes up, how do you manage with your family and your work? I mean, how do men manage it? Aren't they fathers as well? But men are never asked that question, because society is always putting the responsibility of caring for the family on the woman. In spite of, and that's a very big burden. I don't want to call it burden, because I don't see caring for the family as a burden. It is a responsibility, but that should be shared between the partners. But society doesn't put equal responsibility on women and men, and that perception does not help women to participate fuller. Both in civil society and at higher political levels.
Thank you very much for your contribution. Very appreciated.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Welcome back to It's Debatable on Campus FM 103.7. I'm Alex Bencini. I'm joined with Bernadette Kakia and Maxence Laundrie, both second-year international relations students at the University of Malta, discussing the role of women in contemporary society. Bernadette, before the break, you had mentioned the urge women have nowadays to follow a professional career. In your regard, which are the main professions which women, both within Malta as well as in Europe, want to pursue?
Ambition is a trait which is apparent in both genders, and whenever it is lacking, there can be no success. Women, when they pursue a profession, also assess how to link up their respective profession with their family commitments. Also, women, to attain success, need to undergo through a number of challenges, more than their male counterparts, keeping in view that most men have unfavorable, stereotypical perspective towards women abilities. Further, it is apparent that women tend to target most professions ranging from educational, medical, law, and the business-related professions. At present, there is no professional area where women have not succeeded in their debut, even within the military sector as generals and officers. If you take Malta as an example, a substantial number of the Malta police force is female. In contrast to the armed forces of Malta, throughout the current year, 2010-12, there are merely 50 women in relation to approximately 1,600 male. Moreover, if we delve further out of the 50 women, there are only 4 female officers.
Let's once again take the debate from a fresh angle. I mean, there are many females who have succeeded as leaders. What particular leadership styles do females exhibit?
Many females tend to adopt an autocratic style. Possibly this is because they fear being dominated by their male subordinates. To a certain extent, this is a form of self-defense. However, other females are more open and adopt a democratic leadership style. Women are more cautious whenever they take decisions and tend to assess beforehand the consequences. Moreover, they have a more calculated mind.
How do the males in general perceive leadership on the part of females?
It's to be admitted that most males are put off when they have a female leader, especially when she's more technically qualified, or many females make it too obvious that they are acting as superior in relation to their male counterparts.
You seem to suggest that women are too hard as leaders. However, what are their positive qualities, if any?
In my regard, women tend to be highly ambitious and move in a step-by-step manner. Moreover, they are highly cautious of all the circumstances which are developing around them, and they seek to take full advantage of them. They tend to adopt a highly flexible hard and soft style, applied tactfully depending on the particular situation under review. I think that certain women are born leaders since they are able to lead their subordinates along, as if by natural talent. Possibly, the biological and genetic nature of females positions them in a more advantageous position as leaders in relation to the male counterpart.
Finally, I'd like to have your sincere perspective concerning the position of women in the near future. For instance, do you think that they are going to enjoy a more dominant role within the context of the European society?
There is a tendency that whenever a man underestimates women, women become more powerful since they adopt their own way how to handle men. Although there is no formal competition within society involving the two genders, however, in practice, one cannot deny its existence. In the foreseeable future, women are going to experience a higher degree of social mobility within society. This is primarily by upgrading their present standards of education. This will provide a tougher challenge to their male counterpart. However, at the end of the day, both sides have come to realize that they need each other on a reciprocal basis for the advancement of society. Competition is a state of fact and, admittedly, is healthy.
Bernadette and Maxence, I'd like to thank you both for your contributions and for raising some very valid points on the topic of women in contemporary society. But unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. On behalf of all the team behind It's Debatable and the Department of International Relations at the University of Malta, I'm Alex Bencini. Thank you for tuning in to Campus FM 103.7.
You have just had the pleasure of listening to another student-run episode of It's Debatable, produced by the Department of International Relations within the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta. For more information, kindly visit mrsa.org.mt. Tune in next week, same time, same frequency.